Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. And we've got an explosive story today from Washington, one that you won't hear really anywhere else. It's an Inside Scoop exclusive on the power of Reverend Sun Myung Moon over the United States government. And I don't know if you know who Reverend Moon is. We're going to talk a lot about him, who he is, what he does. The short answer, he is the self-proclaimed Messiah. He's a right-wing billionaire from Korea who believes himself to be the Messiah and owns the second largest newspaper in the Washington, D.C. area called the Washington Times. He believes in all kinds of right-wing principles, but that's not what's interesting. What's interesting is the power that he has today over the United States government. Like I said, this is an exclusive. I don't think you'll hear it anywhere else but on the Inside Scoop. My guest today is investigative reporter John Gorenfeld, and he has been researching Reverend Moon and specifically his connections with high-ranking officials in the United States government. And we're going to talk at length with him today and take your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Hey, John, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here and to talk about this story. And like you said, nobody, you're scooping the Washington press corps right now just talking about this event, which nobody else has really reported on yet.
Well, that's what we like to do here on The Scoop. We like to be first. Now, John, you came on my show back when I first began in radio almost a year ago. I think I have a greater listenership now, and I really want them to hear what you have to say. And I want to talk about lots of things. I want to talk about the coronation of Reverend Moon as Messiah in a Senate office building. I want to talk about all the money that's gone back and forth between Reverend Moon and members of the Bush family. I want to talk about the Moonies in government. But before I get to all of that, I want to explain to listeners who may not know who Reverend Sun Myung Moon is. I think many people who were around in the 70s and 80s were well aware of his followers basically giving flowers on street corners to people, but they may not know who this guy is and what he's about. So if you could, tell us, who is Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and why should I be concerned about him? Why should my listeners be concerned about him?
Well, Reverend Moon was the leader of what in the 70s was known as the most notorious cult in America. There were all these TV specials like I Escaped from the Moonies about how if your college student wasn't careful, he or she might be recruited by this organization and attend these mass weddings where Reverend Moon would demand that people obey him in these fiery speeches saying that he was the Messiah and proclaiming all of these incredibly, incredibly far-right views that would go way beyond anything conservatives would stand for. Stuff about destroying democracy, stuff about crushing individuality, and stuff about destroying Christianity and replacing it with Reverend Moon's religion. And it really frightened a lot of people.
Well, John, let's go at it step by step. But Reverend Moon, the name of his church is the Unification Church, right?
Although he tries to hide that behind all sorts of other names, other front groups like the American Freedom Coalition, the American Family Coalition, stuff that nobody would really want to be against, the Committee for Religious Freedom, all of these other names of groups that disguise their ties to the Unification Church because the church got such a bad reputation in the 70s.
Okay, now how long has this church been around?
The church has been around since the 50s, I believe, when Reverend Moon said that he had a vision from Jesus Christ. Moon believes that Jesus revealed to Moon that Jesus was a failure, according to Moon.
Reverend Moon says that Jesus told him that Jesus was a failure. Okay, I just want to get it straight here.
That Moon would be like the relief pitcher for Jesus, who needed his help to complete his mission on Earth.
All right. Now, Moon, is he Korean? Is he American? Is he both?
He is a Korean citizen. He's a South Korean citizen,
Korean citizen. Now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, he has millions of followers. Is that excessive?
I don't know. They've made some really gigantic claims, although a lot of estimates have put the religious membership in the thousands in the United States, the low thousands. Really where he's most important is as leader of a gigantic conglomerate of political and business operations. The religious movement has really waned. They haven't been recruiting people quite as much as they used to. And really where he's been making inroads is in Washington, D.C. politics with his billions of dollars spent on gaining influence through the Washington Times and through various conservative organizations.
Okay, and that's what I want to talk about. But let me just explain who he is first before we talk about his influence, because people might not understand why his influence is such a problem unless they understand who he is. Now, he proclaimed himself the Messiah, I guess, back in the 50s. People who join his church are subject to certain cult tactics. Is that fair to say?
Let me read you something that I saw on his website recently. I saw a number of speeches by Moon from the 1976 up to the present, where he talks about threatening to hit people with baseball bats to keep them in order.
Okay.
And in fact, there's a guy, Dr. Chung Kwok, who's now in charge of the United Press International. And before he took charge of UPI Wire Service, he was instructed by Moon to carry around a baseball bat and just whoop people who weren't doing what Reverend Moon wanted them to do in getting people to his mass weddings.
And one of the most shocking allegations that it's fact, since it's public record, but no one's talked about, and I didn't know until I spoke with you, John, before the show, is that Reverend Moon has purchased UPI, purchased United Press International, one of the only three wire services in the United States. He owns it?
Yeah, in 2000, Reverend Moon took charge of UPI, and their legendary reporter, Helen Thomas, left because of that.
Now let's explain why he's dangerous. He's most famous, I think, for these mass weddings where we see thousands of people get married at one time to people they've never met before under the blessing of Reverend Moon, and then they have to have sex in certain ways. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they have a prescribed set of ways to have sex with Reverend Moon's photograph nearby.
Now,
and they're afterwards supposed to cleanse themselves with something called the Holy Handkerchief.
Okay. I don't want to get too graphic, but I guess the Holy Handkerchief is used for sexual fluids?
Something like that. I don't even know how many of Reverend Moon's speeches I can repeat on the radio, because he can be very graphic in talking about sexual activities.
Okay. And they're supposed to worship him as the Messiah.
That's right. As the Messiah, as the true parent, he calls himself.
Okay. And apparently he considers himself more important than Jesus, or he's replaced Jesus.
He's the King of Peace in his mind, and Jesus is, of course, the Prince of Peace. Reverend Moon has succeeded in getting congressmen to honor him as, under that title, the King of Peace. And he has all of these world peace organizations that do not acknowledge their ties to the Unification Church directly.
Okay. Now, he's also, I believe, denied the Holocaust. Is that right?
Well, not exactly. He said the Holocaust was the Jewish price for betraying Christ. And what's interesting is, if you look at Reverend Moon's proclamation.
So it was deserved, I guess. He admits it and says it was deserved or something.
Not exactly deserved, but that something like that, a cause and effect result from betraying Jesus Christ, that being the Jewish penance that they had to pay for betraying Christ. And he's not very fond of Jews. It used to be that the ADL kept tabs on him as a guy promoting some really, really anti-Semitic stereotypes and ideas. And in fact, when I looked at his proclamation today on the web about bringing all the great religions together, he left out Jews. But that didn't stop some rabbis from following his roadshow that ended up in the Capitol.
Now tell me some of the other extreme things that he has said, Reverend Moon.
Well, let's see. Should I start with some of the extreme political things? Politically, he's talked about. Let me dig out the quote here. He's talked about wiping out gay people. He calls
wiping
gay
out.
People,
wait, no, that's wiping out gay people. Exterminating gay people. Is that what he's advocating?
I'd have to find the exact quote. He says something like, he says, "quote, gays will be eliminated." Unquote. This is a speech he made at the beginning of 2004 in a speech about his coming kingdom of peace on earth, and he's called gays less than animals, and he has said that he has said that they will be eliminated in his idea of heaven on earth. Now, meanwhile, he has said that democracy. Let me find this right here. He says that the worst foundation for government is the democratic system. He says.
Okay, so he's against democracy.
He's
right.
Against democracy.
Okay, so,
you see, a lot of people flocked to him in the 80s because Reverend Moon hated communism. They didn't realize he also hated the democratic system. I mean, here's a quote from Reverend Moon. He said, "History will make the position of Reverend Moon clear, and his enemies, the American population and government, will bow down to him," Moon said. speaking of himself in the third person. I'm quoting from an article by Robert Perry, who uncovered the Iran-Contra scandal, which Reverend Moon also had a small part in. Quote, "That is Father's tactic," talking about himself again, "the natural subjugation of the American government and population." And later he's gone on throughout the 90s to talk about America in a way that sounds almost like the Ayatollah talking about how America is satanic, that the country that represents Satan's harvest is America, which was in the Unification News in June 1997.
Okay, so let me sum up here. He thinks the Jews deserve the Holocaust. He wants to eliminate gays. He's against democracy. He thinks America is satanic. He seeks America's subjugation. He's a multi-billionaire Korean who claims that he's displaced Jesus. In fact, there's even a program you told me about, Take Down the Cross. What's that about?
The Take Down the Cross campaign is something that nobody has talked about in the press. On Easter Sunday, when a lot of people are celebrating Easter, Reverend Moon claims that he had a vision. And his vision was that the cross, the symbol of the Christian cross, was preventing people from accepting him and his mission on earth. And so what happened was he then launched a tour of more than 100 American churches under a front group called the American Clergy Leadership Conference, going to churches across the country and persuading these pastors to tear down the cross, in his words, to remove the symbol of Christianity from their walls and consider following his interreligious movement. And, of course, this goes beyond anything that the ACLU ever proposed as far as taking down crosses. This is coming into people's churches and raffling off gold watches, having this sort of fabulous presentation, and telling people that it's time to tear down the cross. And it's
okay, so he's anti-Jewish, he's anti-Christian, he's anti-gay, he's anti-American, he's anti-democratic. Okay, all right, he's a bad guy. I understand that. There's lots of bad guys, you know, on this planet. I can think of quite a few of them. But surely he's not being taken seriously in Washington.
Well, I see, it just so happens that this guy, who also does business with the North Communist government, he sells cars up there, this guy is taken very seriously in Washington. And, of course, on March 23rd, he was honored at a ceremony at the Dirksen Senate Office Building.
I know it well.
You know the Dirksen.
I certainly do. I've been, there's only three official Senate buildings and three official House buildings. Dirksen is one of the three. It's where you have official meetings. It's where you have committee hearings. It's a very important building. It's where the senators conduct their business.
And you can't just rent it out.
I
called them up and I said, can you just rent it out if you want to have a bar mitzvah or something?
John, I know that for a fact because I used to work in the House and on the House side. And if you wanted to use a House meeting room, you had to get permission from a member of Congress. Now, what would happen if someone wanted to meet, let's say there was a group that my boss supported, maybe the NAACP, for example, wanted to meet in the House office building, they would call me, I would ask my boss, Congressman Barney Frank, for permission, and then we would get the room. But absolutely, you've got to get permission from a member of Congress. You can't just walk in off the street and use those rooms. There's a lot of security there.
Which brings us to the host committee list, and the Reverend Moon Unification Church put out a list of congressional co-chairs and congressmen who had invited him to this thing, and it's quite lengthy. And in the end, he claimed, his church claimed, that about 81 members of Congress came. And I think the number is a little bit shaky because I think he included some state legislatures.
John, tell my listeners what happened in the Dirksen Senate office building with Reverend Moon and a number of members of Congress.
On March 23rd, a bipartisan group of congressmen attended this event. It was a coronation ceremony for Moon, where he was declared to be the Messiah.
A coronation.
Award ceremony.
Let's be clear, because some people may not know what that is. A coronation is when you crown a king.
You bring a crown. He's
a coronation is
standing there in royal purple robes.
If Queen Elizabeth dies, Prince Charles will be coronated King Charles. It's the official way you recognize a king to be king. And you're telling our listeners that Reverend Moon had an official coronation in the Senate office building?
Which is sort of unusual because normally we don't grant titles of nobility in the United States.
Unusual puts it lightly. Tell our listeners in detail, if you can, what happened on March 23rd.
Well, there's video footage of the web that you can see. What happened was, after this awards ceremony, things turned a little bit unusual. A rabbi got up on stage, jumped up, and blew the shofar, which is the sign of either the Holy High Holidays or the coming of the Messiah. He said, "Is this the Messiah? Is this the time for the Messiah to come?" The rabbi said that, strongly implying that now it was time for the Messiah to come.
Yikes.
Yikes, indeed. I don't think my rabbi would have approved of that. But Reverend Moon proceeded to come to the stage. He had been dressed in a tuxedo. He now switched to these regal robes, like something that the old European kings would have worn, that somebody gently dresses him up in. And then some people come to him with these two bejeweled crowns. I mean, these things look really expensive. They're sitting on these velvety purple cushions.
And this is all happening in the Senate office building.
This is happening in the Dirksen Senate office building.
Did any member of Congress complain or walk out or say, you know what, we don't crown kings in America, particularly kings that hate Jews and Christians and gays in America? Did anyone complain?
I mean, some of them, they all kind of turned really shy about the whole thing and didn't talk about it. A lot of them fled the room, according to one report I heard from one senator's spokesperson. But they didn't make a big deal out of it in the press, and it wasn't reported anywhere. But I think a lot of them were fooled into attending an event that they thought was only going to honor their home constituents. On the other hand, Reverend Moon has been pulling these kinds of tricks for about 20 years, and so they ought to know better. For example, in the mid-90s, Bill Cosby even talked about how he was invited to one of these events and didn't realize that he was being used to make the Reverend Moon organization look better in the eyes of the public.
Wow. You know, you've got so much to say, and we've got to go to a break, but I want to give our listeners a chance to call in while we're on break. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. When we come back, John, I want to talk about not just a coronation ceremony in the Senate, but actual dollars, money going back and forth from Reverend Moon to politicians or politicians to Reverend Moon, maybe even some of our tax dollars, maybe even some members of the Bush family. There's really some shocking stuff going on here, John. I want you to talk about that when we come back. Again, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back with more of Moonies in Our Government right after this.
If a thief broke into your home and stole a couple of $1,000s that you had carefully saved from your paychecks and stashed away over the last 3 years, you could call the cops and try to get your money back. But who do you call when that thief is the CEO of your company? CEOs have been routinely stealing hundreds and even thousands of dollars from the deserved paychecks of each and every worker in America, pocketing much of this loot themselves and converting the rest to corporate profits. The grand larceny of the CEOs is that they've been filching every worker's share of the enormous productivity gains that America has racked up since the recession officially ended in November of 2001. Productivity is the increase in products or services that each worker churns out. And Americans have been phenomenal at this, fueling an explosion of new economic growth. The theory and promise of free enterprise is that if our workforce of millions of people becomes more productive, the workers will enjoy the bulk of economic gains generated by their improved output. Yet in this current 3-year burst of productivity, America has lost jobs and wages have either stagnated or fallen. In other words, America's working families are being fleeced by the pinstripe thieves sitting atop corporate headquarters. Workers' share of the new income they've generated in this recovery is the lowest ever recorded, while the fat cats have hauled off the most on record. An in-depth analysis by the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University finds that while the workforce usually is rewarded with 65% of the increase in national income, this time they've received only 38%. Profits, which go overwhelmingly to only a few investor elites, usually get under 18% of the productivity increase, but now they're getting more than double that. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is a massive historic level of theft. And the pinstripe dandies pulling it off ought to be wearing prison stripes.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And one thing I think the government would be very embarrassed to have you know right now is its connection with a certain self-proclaimed messiah we've heard about who hates Christians, hates Jews, hates America, hates democracy, hates gay people, but seems to have a lot of people who love him in Washington. He is the owner of the Washington Times, the second largest newspaper in the Washington area. He is the owner of United Press International. He is the self-proclaimed messiah, Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And I've got as my guest investigative reporter John Gorenfeld, who's giving us the details of what Moon stands for and why it is that folks in Washington are supporting him. John, welcome to the Inside Scoop again.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, let me ask you this. The Washington Times, is it fair to say that's a right-wing newspaper?
I think it's fair to say that, yes.
And it very much supports Republican candidates?
It very much does. But what's so interesting about the Washington Times is that while it's been used to get the conservative message out, Reverend Moon himself has boasted about it as a direct way to give him influence over the White House. For example, in 1984, the Washington Post reported that Moon said, "With journalism, we now have reached success by establishing the Washington Times. We now have a direct influence on Reagan through the Washington Times." And so Reverend Moon sees the Washington Times not only as his newspaper, but as an intelligence gathering operation and also as a direct tool to influence Washington politics.
Now, as I understand, the Washington Times has actually lost money every year.
You know, this is interesting. I was just talking to Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily, the conservative website, and he said that when I said that the Washington Times in my article had lost $1 billion.
$1 billion.
Since it had been started in 1982, Joseph Farah said it was probably closer to $4 billion. And Rory O'Connor he's a Frontline producer who did a wonderful special on Moon in 1992. He told me it was something like $2 billion. And so this is a newspaper that's not supported on advertising. It's been called the most expensive partisan political ad of all time. $4 to $2 billion.
And it's basically just there to promote Reverend Moon and his politics.
It started out promoting anti-communist politics. Now it promotes Republican politics. But increasingly, there are promotions in there for some of Reverend Moon's religious events, like the world tour that ended in the U.S. Capitol.
You know, it's interesting. Every time I see, is it Tony Blankley, a reporter for the Washington Times? Isn't that he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and I see him on Fox News and everything, and I keep wanting to say, hey, you know, what do you think about your boss? Are you as anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-American as your boss is, Tony? You know, I've always wanted to ask him that.
Or Andrew Sullivan, of course, who's a gay writer.
He works for the Washington Times?
He has a column in the Washington Times, so that they pay him to reprint his column and his gossip from Washington for the week. And even changed his column to put homosexual marriage in quotes, even when Andrew Sullivan writes it as gay marriage without quotes.
And Andrew Sullivan allows this to happen, apparently.
He does.
He's getting a paycheck. But, do they change it? I mean, clearly Reverend Moon doesn't like gay people very much. Why does he allow someone like Andrew Sullivan to write?
I don't know. There might be the possibility that he... Oh, that it makes the Washington Times look like not such a horribly anti-gay organization.
Interesting. Now let's follow the money trail because again, he's a bad guy and he owns a big newspaper and okay, they allowed him into a Senate building. That in and of itself is embarrassing. But is there actually money coming from the United States government to Reverend Moon?
Yeah, as part of the abstinence-only program. See, this is the thing. People want more God in their government sometimes and don't realize whose God is going to be part of that, because Reverend Moon has a group called Free Teens USA that are promoting his anti-sex message his way, and they received $500,000 in abstinence-only money in the summer of 2002.
So Reverend Moon got $500,000 of our taxpayers' money to tell people not to have sex.
Yeah, he did, and these are people working in the New Jersey public schools. And in fact, Reverend Moon has even admitted it. He said, "Now I'm paraphrasing here, but it's something like, now is the time to pay Father back for all the things I've done for all these powerful politicians and dignitaries. Instead of taking care of me, take care of my missionaries." And that's what the abstinence-only program
paying Father,
has done.
Of course, means paying Reverend Moon.
He talks about himself as Father, right?
Okay. And now, I guess sex is not okay unless you use the holy handkerchief. I don't really know, but.
Well, I can't say for sure that they're promoting such an explicit view of Reverend Moon's sex ideas, but they promote some very odd and not very scientific ideas to some of these New Jersey students, which raises a lot of the same questions as the Scientologists operating here in San Francisco with their Narcanon anti-drug program. I mean, they basically teach teenagers that you'll die if you have sex. They say that condoms don't really work and all of this stuff. It's really quite amazing.
Well, I guess the only time you should have sex is with a complete stranger on your wedding day with 1,000 other complete strangers and do it under a picture of Reverend Moon. I want to give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I find this stuff pretty amazing, really, because I would think people would be running pretty far from this guy. But you were telling me, John, that there's actually two known Moonies in the United States government. Is that right?
Well, I try to avoid using the term Moonies.
All right.
I know they
followers
came up, they
of
invented it.
Unification Church.
They invented it. I say Moonists even would reflect some of their political extremism. But yeah, Bush Senior gave plum jobs to two of the most powerful movers in the political part of the Unification Church. There's a guy named David Caprara who's been opening a lot of political doors for Reverend Moon over the years, and George W. Bush made him head of AmeriCorps Vista, which was the old Lyndon Johnson War on Poverty program, of course. And the other one, even more surprising, is Josette Scheiner, who's now Deputy U.S. Trade Representative to Asia, and she is a longtime follower of Reverend Moon and a former editor of the Washington Times, and she's been given a powerful position by Bush.
Now, how would you respond, John, to someone who would say to you, "Well, okay, all right, he's kind of a wacko. That's not my religion. I'm Christian or Jewish or I'm atheist for that matter. Why should I care that the Bush administration is appointing a follower of Reverend Moon to these high-ranking positions?"
Well, I want to emphasize that these people have the right to their beliefs in the privacy of their homes. I just believe that when congressmen are endorsing these religious beliefs in the Dirksen Senate office building, and well, frankly, this is a political organization more than a religious
organization. I was just going to say, there's one thing to talk about Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and quite another to talk about a guy who favors exterminating gays, who's against democracy, who calls America satanic and is trying to destroy Christianity and thinks the Jews deserve the Holocaust. To me, that's not quite a legitimate religion, particularly when he's trying cult-like techniques to keep people following him.
I think the best answer is something like this. I think a lot of the people in the Unification Church religious movement are good people having real spiritual experiences, and I think that in America they have the right to do that. On the other hand, this is something like if you appointed a member of Reverend Fred Phelps's anti-gay, anti-black church, I still think the followers would have to answer for some of his extremist political beliefs.
In this case,
these people haven't distanced themselves from things like calling gay people dung-eating dogs and blaming Jews for the Holocaust. And you just wonder, are people who subscribe to these beliefs being rewarded by our government with our money and with attention lavished on them in Congress by congressmen?
Now, one of the things you told me is that John Ashcroft, who certainly is a fundamentalist Christian, but that he himself has had some support of Reverend Moon's organization?
Yeah, John Ashcroft, who probably wouldn't be happy to hear about this Tear Down the Cross tour.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Nevertheless, came to a Moon organized event for inauguration of the president in 2000. And this kind of thing has been happening since the Nixon era. I mean, what happened was originally in the Korea Gate scandal, Congress investigated Reverend Moon's political influence, and they found that Moon was pulling the same kind of stunts with the Nixon administration. And in one particularly hilarious episode, the Moon people planned to rush Richard Nixon during the Christmas tree lighting, hoist him on their shoulders, and walk around with these signs saying, "God loves Richard Nixon." And And Nixon saw them, according to this book by Robert Bocher, the congressional aide, and fled for his lives and thought, "What is this?" But on the other hand,
you think the Secret Service would have stopped them? I don't know.
I think they got him out of there. But on the other hand, Nixon started thinking, "Well, Watergate's happening. I need all the friends I can get." And that was the Reverend Moon's thinking, that he would give people these favors that they couldn't reject, like giving $3.5 million to Jerry Falwell more recently for his Liberty University. And that because of that, they'd be unable to turn down his money, and they would have to owe Reverend Moon all sorts of honor. In March.
I'll tell you, you say so much, and it's such good stuff, and it's such dense facts. I just want to make sure people heard that.
Yeah, let's unpack some of that.
$3.5 million that Reverend Moon, this guy that wants to take down the cross, the guy that wants to replace Jesus, has given $3.5 million to Jerry Falwell, self-proclaimed, you know, wonderful Christian, and Jerry Falwell took the money?
Yeah,
Did he know where it was coming from?
The Los Angeles Times revealed this in the mid-90s. It was from a Reverend Moon front group, some sort of women's peace organization, to disguise the fact that it was coming from this guy that most Christians would see as something close to most popular descriptions of the Antichrist.
Sure.
And Falwell in the past had criticized Moon.
But wait, no matter Falwell. Okay, so Falwell took the money. Maybe let's. And I hate to give Falwell the benefit of the doubt, but I will. I try to be fair. Let's say Falwell took the money. He didn't know where it was from. He then found out from the LA Times it actually was from Reverend Moon. He gave the money back, right?
He did not give it back. No.
He didn't give it back. Not a penny.
No, because the people have rationalized this. There are plenty of conservatives who have sort of agonized over having to form an alliance with Reverend Moon, but they say, well, without him, our voice wouldn't be out there. And, you know, there was a time when people thought the era of the Christian right in American politics was really waning, but Reverend Moon has helped keep them afloat when they really had a hard time.
That's amazing stuff. I'll tell you, we have to go to another commercial break. I'm going to give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And when we come back, I want to talk about the Bushes' personal relationship with Reverend Moon. Specifically, I understand Bush Sr. got a lot of money from Reverend Moon. And I want to talk about that and take your calls and emails when we come back.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A new report from Human Rights Watch accuses the Coca-Cola Company of profiting off child labor in El Salvador. The report details the widespread use of children in the sugarcane fields of that country. Up to 30,000 kids as young as 8 are involved in the backbreaking work of planting and harvesting, for which they are paid little and receive no medical care when injured. Coke drinks are made from the sugar processed from the cane, but the company does not own or deal directly with the plantations. Human Rights Watch hopes the company will use its power and influence to force Salvadoran cane farmers to comply with labor law, which in El Salvador sets the minimum working age at 14.
After contract negotiations fell through, more than 1,500 members of the United Auto Workers Local 997 walked off the job on Thursday at two local Maytag plants in Newton, Iowa. Maytag's corporate headquarters is based in Newton and employs 10% of the city's residents, now out of work due to the strike. At issue is healthcare retirement benefits and Maytag's proposal to continue massive layoffs, downsizing hundreds of salaried employees as part of a national corporate restructuring program, in addition to the 1,300 people laid off in the past year and a half. Maytag announced that it knew the work stoppage was coming and built up a surplus inventory. Local president Pat Tweed speaking from the picket line at the plant gate.
Maytag and UAW are a valuable part of this community, and, you know, we're a majority of what this community is about as far as the commerce and people spending money and buying houses, cars.
Workers are hoping for a speedy resolution, unlike the last major strike at the Newton plant in 1971 that lasted for 5 months.
Victory for banana workers in Colombia. A two-week strike of 16,000 at plantations there ended yesterday when the growers agreed to allow farm workers to remain employees. They'd gone on strike to protest a proposal that would have classified them as seasonal workers and made them more susceptible to hiring and firing at the whim of a plantation owner. Banana planters and pickers will also receive wage increases, including adjustments for inflation. This staves off a potential shortage, as Colombia is the third largest exporter of bananas in the world.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A recent report by the U.S. Department of Labor suggests that more jobs are lost due to domestic competition than to workers overseas. According to the Labor Department, of the 200,000-plus jobs lost in the first quarter of 2004, only about 4,600, or 2%, were due to offshore outsourcing. But the report didn't include small-scale layoffs in its numbers and relied on management to accurately self-report their figures.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. We're talking about the man who owns Washington's second largest newspaper, even though it's lost billions a year. A man who proclaims himself to be the Messiah, who says that Jesus has given up his crown and given it to him. A man who talks, I guess, after their death to both Hitler and Stalin. A man who says that the Jews deserve the Holocaust, that gays should be exterminated. A man who tries to take down the cross from Christian churches nationwide. And a man that has the support of a large amount of the Washington establishment. His name is Reverend Sun Myung Moon. He is the founder and Messiah, I guess, of the Unification Church. He uses cult-like tactics to keep his followers in line, has mass weddings, has bizarre sexual things prescribed for his followers using the holy handkerchief, and yet, we have people like Jerry Falwell taking $3.5 million from him. We have a coronation as king, as robes in the Senate office building. And I understand, this is my investigative reporter, John Gorenfeld, I'm talking to, who's providing with all this shocking information exclusively on the Inside Scoop. I understand, John, that George Bush Sr. has taken a hefty advance from Reverend Moon.
That's right. George Bush Sr. on a couple of different occasions has taken large amounts of money from Reverend Moon, which in some ways has obligated his poor son, George W. Bush, to pay back Reverend Moon with government grants and some of these things. Bush Sr. actually traveled with Reverend Moon to South America in the mid-90s and declared this is the man with the vision, and said that his Washington Times had restored sanity to Washington, D.C., and he took an unbelievably large amount of money, according to most sources, although there hasn't been an exact figure released for how much money Bush Sr. took for speaking fees. His other time he took money from Reverend Moon was when the Washington Times Foundation, which Moon is very closely involved with the workings of, gave more than $1 million to the Bush Sr. Presidential Library.
Okay, so he got more than $1 million on at least one occasion, we think a substantial sum on another occasion, and he said publicly that Reverend Moon is a man with the vision?
Yeah, that's right, the man with the vision.
I think George H.W. Bush has a trouble with the vision thing, remember?
That's right.
He's really got trouble there. Now, George W. Bush, he's not the smartest guy in the world, but his father, no one ever complained that he was an idiot. Did he know who Reverend Moon was? I mean, I know who Reverend Moon is.
Yeah, well, actually, the Washington Post asked George Bush why he and Barbara were taking part in some different Moon events, and their response through a spokesperson was that they've heard from, quote, anti-cult organizations and things like that, unquote, but that what they were really interested in was the fact that Reverend Moon was in favor of family values, and they were focused on the family, and that was the main thing that they were interested in. Now, I mean, in the
family
70s,
values.
Family values. And in the 70s, Reverend Moon was most famous for breaking up people's families.
Tell me this, some of the techniques that he was rumored to have used in the 70s, correct me if I'm wrong, that he actually denied it was either protein or sleep, he actually denied...
That's almost exactly right. I mean, he would have these kids on street corners for many, many hours without food or sleep. And the idea was to get them to this altered state where they were ready to devote their all to this movement. Now, their defense was that these people are adults. They have a right to join any kind of religious movement they want.
But if you deny someone enough protein and sleep, they have a lot of trouble thinking straight, I would think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty difficult. I've tried it myself.
Really?
No, not as a member of the Unification Church, obviously, but just
to see what it would be like?
What's that?
Just to see what it would be like if you were under their control?
No, that's actually not a bad idea for an experiment, to tell you the truth. No, I just mean if I haven't gone without food for a while. But, you know, these people, they would be exposed to long periods without sleep or food.
Sounds like the tortures that some of which we use at Abu Ghraib. I mean, that is a way.
Yeah,
frankly, it's interesting because that's a way of practicing mind control. You deny someone food and sleep, and they bend to your will. I remember being on a street corner in New York City, it was a long time ago, more than 10 years ago, and being approached by a woman who gave me a flower. Said to me something about the Unification Church, and I said, "Oh, you're a Mooney," and she took great offense at that. But I was, and then I was chasing her. I was saying, "Don't you think you should think for yourself? Don't you think that?" And she ran away from me. So I'm trying.
Well, they're trained to believe that people who criticize them are out to get them, like Nazis trying to get the Jews.
Wow.
And I think that when I have a website like my own and my writings, where I'm somewhat respectful of them, I don't call Reverend Moon a maniac or anything like that.
I just
talk about what he's doing.
I'll call him a maniac because I think he is one. And what concerns me is all these people in Washington that are kowtowing to him. Let me go to one of my callers. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. I encourage you to call in, or you can email me by sending an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Caller, I lost that caller. That's too bad.
Here.
No. I don't think it's your fault. I think the caller hung up. Anyway, I hope he'll call back, or she. 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I think they're back. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. This is Ed from New York, and I would like to ask your guest a question.
Sure, please do.
He talked about the various people that were at the meeting that took place at the Senate office building. I'd like to know the names of the congressmen and senators who were actually there.
Great question.
And attended that meeting, and I'd also like to know if any of them walked out.
Great question. Do you have that list, John?
Well, I don't know who walked out. I was told that people walked out. I wasn't given but I have a list of who was there.
Okay.
And who was involved with the event and who was on the guest list.
Okay.
Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina.
Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Go ahead.
Representative Kurt Weldon claimed not to be there and then changed his story after I found photographs of him there.
Okay, well, you know, let's go through each of these.
Okay.
I don't want to go too fast. I want people let's soak in. Representative Kurt Weldon is a Republican representative from Pennsylvania. Now, he said he denied he was there to you, John.
His spokesperson. Said he absolutely did not go.
Okay, but you found pictures of him there?
Yeah, so then you know how sometimes people have trouble getting email attachments to open. So I sent his spokesperson. I said, well, that's interesting because I have all these pictures of him at the event. So I sent her some links to photos. She couldn't get them to open. She says, I can't get these to open, so I'm afraid I can't help you. He was planning to go, but he couldn't make it. Then I got her to open the attachments. There is a photograph of Kurt Weldon not only speaking at the event, and holding up a picture of him, I guess, to congratulate himself for giving an award to Gaddafi in the name of peace, and a picture of him at the event surrounded by members of the Unification Church.
So Kurt Weldon is holding up a picture of himself giving a medal to Gaddafi.
There's another guy holding up the picture, but yet Kurt Weldon is at the podium making some sort of speech about world peace, and next to him is a guy with a picture of Kurt Weldon, pinning a medal on Gaddafi, and this may have been tied into the fact that the whole thing was an Ambassadors for Peace, Awards for Peace program, which is how they snookered all these people into showing up.
You know, that's interesting for another reason, just because Gaddafi was just found to have played a part in a plot to kill the Saudi Arabian leaders. He's certainly not a very peaceful guy, despite what George W. Bush said.
Guy.
I'm going to have to find out who's running against Kurt Weldon in Pennsylvania and let them know. But tell us about others.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear about. I want to know who else was there.
Who else? Okay, I understand there were some Democrats there, too, right?
Representative, I'm sorry?
I understand there were some Democrats there, too, right?
There were Democrats. In fact, the guy carrying the crown on a velvety pillow cushion to Reverend Moon and bowing was Congressman Danny K. Davis from
Illinois. And he's
a
Democrat. Yeah, no, he's a Democrat from Illinois. Now, you're telling me he carried his crown on a velvet pillow and bowed down, knelt down?
He didn't kneel, but his eyes were turned towards the ground. He's carrying this crown on this purple cushion.
Oh, my God.
He's leaning his head down and bringing him this crown.
And have you got pictures of that one, too?
I have pictures of that on my website, yes.
That is shocking. What's your website? Why don't you give it out for our listeners?
It's my last name, which is kind of like Al Gore plus an N plus Rumsfeld. So it's gorenfeld.net. And on my blog, I have a number of these pictures that prove that a lot of these people were there who claimed not to be so.
Who else was there? I've just heard these two.
Okay, Chris Cannon from Utah was there, Representative Chris Cannon.
A Republican from Utah.
A Republican from Maryland, Roscoe Bartlett, was there. And they declared that Roscoe Bartlett was there as the ambassador of peace from the United States to this incredible religious event. Republican strategy expert Charlie Black said he wrote to me, I couldn't make it, I just lent my name to the event. But Charlie Black is a really important guy.
I've seen him on TV all the time.
His firm, he has a public relations firm that represents Ahmed Shalabi.
He's on all the time. He's like one of the main pundits that comes out and defends the Republican Party. I'd like someone to ask him, what was he doing at this Mooney event, this Mooney coronation?
He said that he helped plan it by lending his name to it.
Is he the husband of Shirley Temple Black, or is that somebody else?
I don't think so. I think he's too young for that.
Harold Ford, a kind of a rising star in the Democratic Party.
Harold Ford of Tennessee.
He said that he didn't go and that he hadn't heard of it. But that he was listed on the program for the event, which was funny because when I talked to the representative from Illinois, Danny K. Davis, he said I was expecting to see him there. So those two stories don't really add up.
Harold Ford is important. He actually ran against Nancy Pelosi to be the Democratic leader. He lost, but he ran against her. He is a rising star. Did you contact his office?
I did. He didn't return my call.
Very interesting.
Do you have a picture of him?
No, I don't have a picture of him at the event.
Okay.
He may not have gone. They may just have used his name without permission. Or
anybody else in the Senate?
Let's see. I mentioned
said Lindsey Graham, right?
Mark Dayton from Minnesota.
You're kidding. I like Mark Dayton. He's a good guy.
His office said to myself and to someone else who just did an article about this for Christian Magazine that he only went because a constituent from back home was promised an award and he says, well, whenever I have someone from my home state who's going to win an award, I'm going to go and be there while he's honored in Washington.
You know, that's no excuse. I know people in his office from when I worked in Congress, and they're good people. He's a good man. He should know better. I'll tell you, I may just make a phone call. It sounds to me, what's interesting is that to me that you got a guy like Mark Dayton, who's certainly a liberal. He's a good senator from Minnesota. I know he doesn't support Moon's views. So
and Minnesota, of course, has a great tradition of going after Reverend Moon. I mean, the whole investigation into Reverend Moon in the Congress in the 70s as part of Koreagate was spearheaded by Representative Donald Frazier, who later became, of course, the mayor of Minneapolis. And that the Moon people proceeded to demonize him as an enemy of God and religious freedom.
Wasn't Moon convicted of some bribery or some embezzlement scandal?
They were only able to get Moon for tax fraud and conspiracy to obstruct justice, but what the congressional investigation discovered was that Moon had really done some shady things with money involving not only ties to the South Korean CIA, which back then was a really, really reactionary government, things like charity fraud, where they would hold some sort of fundraiser or race or marathon and raise huge amounts of money that were supposed to go to sick children, and it would end up going to a PR firm to make the Unification Church look better. And we all know that succeeded because you never hear about the Reverend Moon's church anymore. PR campaign has been an incredible success.
What is going on here? I mean, these people, they're not idiots, I don't think. Why are members of Congress, are they getting tricked? Mark Dayton, in fact, I should say, is new to Congress. He's only been in the Senate a couple years. But some of these people have been around a long time. They should know better.
I would think they should know better, especially since Reverend Moon has been notorious for decades.
You still there?
I'm still here,
okay.
Yeah.
I think Ed hung up. Go ahead.
Oh, and yeah, certainly they ought to have heard of this guy. I mean, I'm just a freelance reporter in California, and it's unbelievable that I would know more about this ultimate Washington insider figure than these people.
It is unbelievable. We got to go to one more break, but when we come back, we're going to close up. It's your last chance to call in. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com.
Despicable is not a word that major corporate executives are used to having hurled at them by high elected officials, but the honchos of Diebold Inc. recently got this very word right in their corporate face. The hurler was Kevin Shelley, California's Secretary of State, and he was referring to his experience with Diebold's electronic voting machines in California's March primary elections. Computer glitches plagued that election, jeopardizing its outcome. For example, thousands of San Diego voters were turned away from the polls because Diebold machines malfunctioned. A subsequent investigation by a state panel of experts on electronic voting found that this company, the second largest purveyor of touchscreen voting machines in the country, had violated state law by installing untested and uncertified software in its machines, then lied about it. Their performance, their behavior is despicable, Shelley bluntly said. He also put action behind his words, banning the use of more than 14,000 Diebold machines for this November's election, saying that the machines are not secure and reliable. He also recommended that criminal charges be filed for what he called fraudulent actions by Diebold. Shelley had earlier ruled that by 2006, touchscreen voting machines in California must produce a paper receipt so voters can verify the electoral choices they make on these corruptible computers. But after this year's unpleasantness with Diebold, Shelley says he's now exploring ways to speed up this requirement. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, in Maryland, a voters group has filed suit to block the use of all 16,000 of Diebold's virtual voting machines in their state unless a paper verification system is installed on each of them. It's all a part of the growing grassroots rebellion to prevent the electronic theft of our elections. To join the fight, go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the cult leader, the self-proclaimed Messiah, and all the influence he has in Washington. We're talking about a coronation ceremony, but of course it goes way beyond that. I mean, I can understand. One of my listeners writes in his belief that it looks like the Moonies may have tricked Senator Dayton of Minnesota into going to the ceremony that then turned out to be a coronation ceremony. And I'm willing to believe that, though I don't know why Danny Davis was carrying a pillow with a crown on it. I've got to say, I mean, I'm clearly a Democrat. There's no question. My listeners know where I stand. But I believe in – you got to tell the truth first. And if a Democrat's doing something horrendous like this, I got to – call him on it just as I would a Republican. That's just the way it goes. And people shouldn't be supporting this guy. He's a very dangerous guy. And what strikes me, though, is even worse than attending a ceremony, I mean, that's one thing, is to take his millions of dollars, as George Bush Sr. has, as Reverend Jerry Falwell has, and help promote his mouthpiece, the Washington Times. Every time I hear someone mention the Washington Times to me, you know, oh, well, the Washington Times said, I always say, do you believe that Reverend Moon is the Messiah? And they look at me like, you know, I'm cross-eyed, and I say, do you know who owns that newspaper? And I tell them about Reverend Moon, and either they say, oh, my God, I didn't know that, or they don't believe me. They don't believe me. They're like, no.
It's unbelievable.
And so people need to know, and I actually, and you, actually my old show with John Gornfeld in September of last year is still archived, and that show I had David Brock as well. David Brock, of course, is the best-selling author of Blinded by the Right. He used to be a reporter for the Washington Times before he made his transition from right-wing to left-wing. But he told us on that, and again, you can go to my archive at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Check it out for yourself. Brock said that Mooney would actually get involved in the editorial decisions and even the reporting decisions of the Washington Times, that he actually would control what was on that newspaper. I know, for example, the Wall Street Journal has a right-wing editorial page, but most people say their reporting is fair. Not so with the Washington Times. Moon actually controlled it. So this is a guy with a lot of power, a lot of influence, and apparently he's getting money. You were telling me, John, in addition to the abstinence campaign in New Jersey, there was going to be a grant for him in Africa?
Yeah, this is quite amazing. I came across a no-bid grant for abstinence education in Africa that would have supported Moon's missionaries, coming from the Center for Disease Control, and they pretty much canned that program as soon as a competitor started raising a stink about it. It said that the Moonies were the only group qualified to receive this grant to spread their anti-sex campaign in Africa to stem HIV.
Okay, so it's a no-bid contract, meaning that no one was allowed to compete for it. And the Center for Disease Control signed and said that only Reverend Moon can teach abstinence in Africa?
Yeah, I think they realized it was sort of an embarrassing slip-up. But, yeah, someone else whose organization had hoped to get some of that money wrote me about it and tipped me off to it. It was really quite amazing, and because their whole attitude towards abstinence education is to preach Reverend Moon's ideas about sex, which are unorthodox, to say the least, to stuff about how free sex will destroy your love organ, your life, your nation. Just very strange.
I don't even want to think about the love organ, but you know, but I guess the Holy Father, you know, all these terms. This guy scares me. I mean, let's just put it clear that this guy scares me. He's getting all these people brainwashed to believe him. I guess they give him a lot of money. Does he ask for a lot of money from his followers?
Yeah, in some cases he's asked for them to donate their life savings, according to some ex-members who've talked to me about this.
Is that where he made his money? I mean,
this is something that everybody acts like it's a mystery. Where does Reverend Moon get his $4 billion to support the Washington Times? It's a mystery. It's not a mystery. There's this class action suit on behalf of a number of Japanese lawyers. Reverend Moon designated Japan throughout the 90s as the cash cow to milk to support the Unification Church and his business activities. So there are all these Japanese old ladies who were convinced that unless they bought these religious statues that his people were selling in Japan, that their husbands would go to hell. And so they were fleeced out of incredible amounts of money, millions and millions. I wish I had the figure on me. And they're still pursuing Moon for... they're still pursuing Moon to get some of this money back from his organization. And meanwhile, he's being treated like a king, literally.
Well, let me ask you this.
Congress.
We only got about a minute and a half left. You know, part of me, I guess I expect the Republicans to do this. He is a right-wing fanatic, and Jerry Falwell taking the money, even George Bush taking the money, doesn't surprise me too much. But the Democrats, that does concern me. You were telling me before when we talked, why do you think Moon is giving money to Democrats as well when he has all these right-wing ideologies?
I have a feeling that it would be so embarrassing to the Republican Party for it to emerge how much influence Reverend Moon has on on Washington Republican conservative policy think tanks that I think he's buying off potential critics, because now people can fairly say that, well, both parties do it. Both parties are involved with this
guy. It's interesting. Enron did the same thing. They gave millions and millions of dollars to the Republican Party, and they gave just a little drop in the bucket to the Democrats to try to buy off criticism. And then when it imploded, that's exactly what the Republicans said. Well, they got money from both parties, 90% from the, you know, they gave money to the Republicans, 10% to the Democrats. But it's a way of
hedging their bets.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, like I said, my first loyalty to the truth, and I'm just as angry, maybe even more angry at the Democrats that are supporting him as I am at the Republicans. I expect these things from the Republicans. I don't expect these things from members of my own party. And I would hope that if you live in any of those areas where we mentioned, where Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina or Kurt Weldon in Pennsylvania or any of these people, that you will contact them and say, you don't think that your member of Congress should be associating with the likes of Reverend Moon. Hey, John, an hour flies really quickly when you have an interesting subject like
so
the one.
And there's so much more.
And I'm sure there is. Go to, was it johngorenfeld.net?
Not the first name, just gorenfeld.net.
Gorenfeld.net. You can get more information. I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but I hope you'll come again sometime, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Listen, this was really a shocking show, and it's exclusive here on The Inside Scoop. That's what we have The Inside Scoop for, to give you these kinds of exclusives. And I hope you'll tune in tomorrow for another edition of The Inside Scoop. Our time is up. This is Mark Levine signing off.